Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
I have asked every self-employed person I've ever met, why did you become self-employed? And everybody has some version of the same answer. It's always, I wanted to control my destiny. I wanted to control my future. I wanted to control the hours I worked, to which I will say, and how is that going for you? And everybody laughs, because the truth of the matter is we think we're gaining control and we're entering completely uncontrollable circumstances, the economy, global pandemics, you name it.
The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Bill Phillips. Greetings and salutations and hello, howdy, all those good things. Welcome to episode 211 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. My guest today, Jeffrey Shaw, is a small business consultant, a TEDx speaker, host of the Self-Employed Life podcast and author of Lingo and the upcoming book, The Self-Employed Life. For over three decades, Jeffrey was one of the most sought-after portrait photographers in the United States. His portraits have appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show and in People and O magazines and hang at Harvard University. Yay, Jeffrey. Having been self-employed his entire life, Jeffrey's here today to share business strategies that really work for self-employed business owners and the personal development they need to increase their capacity for success. And Jeffrey's really, really passionate about helping business owners gain far more control over their businesses and destiny than they ever had before. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey. Welcome.
Oh, Henneka, I'm so honored to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to our conversation on the self-employed ecosystem for a successful business and life. I put successful there, because I know we define success in many, many ways, many, many different ways, and we'll talk about that. But before we dive in, if you could visit Jamaica now, because earlier we were talking about, yeah, I'm living in paradise and all of that. And, you know, you're living somewhere which is pretty tropical too, you know, close enough, which is Miami. But I want to get a sense from you. If you were to visit Jamaica today, what would be the first thing that you do?
I would probably go to a tropical forest, you know, because I live on the ocean now. So, of course, you know, I always appreciate that. But what I don't have here is that tropical, that moist, tropical forest feeling. And I remember being in Hawaii with my kids several years ago and just finding that magical, just the density of the air and the painted trees. And so, yeah, I think I would want to be in amongst thick greenery that's just emitting all the wonderful
freshness
breathing air.
Immediately, Jeffrey, I know that the Blue Mountain Peak would be somewhere you'd want to climb. And if ever you come to Jamaica, put that on your list of things to do, right?
I will indeed. Sounds great.
Awesome. So let's move into some business right now. Now, take us through, because you've done all these amazing things. I mean, mention Oprah Winfrey and that's enough, right? We could just stop right there. You've done all these amazing things. I mean, and not to discount the other things that you've done and accomplished. So what I'd love to start off with is a sense of your upbringing, your background as a child. What were you like? And when did you decide that you wanted to do what you're doing now?
So, you know, honestly, I was a very withdrawn child and a very unhappy child. I was extremely withdrawn, shy, afraid. The world just seemed like a scary place to me. I was the youngest of three boys that were classic masculine. I had a very domineering father, and that wasn't me, isn't me. So I found it really challenging to grow up. I had all brothers. My father had all brothers, and my father's father had all brothers. So it was just a really male dominant atmosphere, and I didn't feel like them. Cut to the chase, 44 years later, at the age of 44, I finally came out as a gay man after I was married earlier in life for 19 years. I've got three wonderful kids. And no, I wasn't quote unquote lying. They say you have to come out to yourself first. My truth hadn't revealed itself to me long before I certainly revealed my truth to the world. So I find it, honestly, Henneke, I find it remarkable that I am where I am today because of how limited I thought of myself as a child. And I say that and I share that because I want everyone to understand that we all have closets to come out of. There's always ways that there's more in us than that's showing up. No matter how out in the world you are and how big you currently are, there's always more in us. However, what I will also add to that, which I'm just sort of understanding at my mature age now, that while I had all those emotions of fear and feeling misplaced, something deep inside of me knew I was awesome. Mm. I just knew it at a very young age. If you put aside all socialized humbleness that that squelches our truth and squelches our greatness. As a young child, I was dealing with this duality of feeling really poorly about myself. But at the end of the day, that was a reflection of how I thought other people saw me. But how I saw myself was pretty remarkable. So the reason I've been able to accomplish what I did is that I have listened to that voice throughout my life. I have dealt in the land of duality of, you may not think this of me, but I think this of me. And I think we humans are far more complex than we give ourselves credit for. And I think a lot of us live in that land of duality, that mm-hmm. on one hand, we may be limiting ourselves. We may feel limited by our circumstances. But if we listen to that voice deep down, I'll bet everyone listening knows they're pretty awesome too.
Well, interestingly, and the truth is, you've said something, and many times as humans, we approach the conversation of homosexuality, gay, whatever you call them, whatever we call it, right? We approach that through the lens of judgment and through the lens of condemnation. But we've never really stopped to assess and address the fact that we are all different. We all make different choices. We all struggle with one thing or another. And as you say that, immediately I relate to whatever struggle that you may have, because even for me personally, there are some things that make me distinctly different. Like, I'm somebody who, and I posted something about it online recently, that I will stand even if I have to stand alone, and as uncomfortable as it is, I will stand. But it's also uncomfortable. And so I'd love to know a little bit about, before we get into the topic, the self-employed ecosystem for a successful business and life, Jeffrey, what were the conversations you were having in your head before you could come right out and say to the world, I am gay? What were those conversations like?
So, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that you're asking this, because rarely, I'm a business guy, so everybody always talks business. But that's why I wrote The Self-Employed Life, because there is no division between our life experiences and our business's experiences. They overlap. The old adage in business, don't take it personal, doesn't apply to us, right? So I love talking about the integration. I mean, to me, you and I are talking business, because we're talking about what makes us who we are, and mm-hmm. that shows up and how we present ourselves and the results we get in business. So the conversations I was having, truly, now mind you, like I said, I've been married for 19 years, raised three kids, I divorced, and I didn't come out until 5 years later. So the divorce had nothing to do with that per se. And the conversation, you truly come out to yourself. I didn't understand the conflict. So in my TEDx talk, I tell this little bit. First of all, I start my TEDx talk by saying we all have closets to come out of before I reveal my personal story. But later in the talk, I say how when I came out and I told my mother, who was the first, second person, I told my kids first, and I told my mom, and she said to me, and at that time, I'd been living in Connecticut prior to then, and I had recently moved to New York City. So when I came out to my mom, she said to me, is it because you moved to New York City? And it was the best question, because you know what? And I said to her, Mom, you're not entirely wrong. And the truth of the matter was, and that's the essence of my TEDx talk, is that often other people see more in us than we see in ourselves. And I hadn't stopped, because I was living the life, I was on such a forward trajectory in life, I hadn't really stopped to question those conversations in my mind about, could I be gay? The truth of the matter is, if I saw an attractive man and woman walking down the street, I was always checking out the guy. However, the conversation in my head was, I was longing for male love in my life because I didn't get it from my father and I didn't get it from my brothers. So I always thought I was so curious about men. I wanted to understand what made them tick. I wondered, was there a man in the world like me? Was there a man in the world that had empathy and caring and wanted to sit down and have tea and a conversation with me? Because I didn't know men like that. I only knew men who wanted to bully and verbally attack. And that's all I knew. I knew very toxic masculinity. And I didn't know, was there a gentle man out there? So I always looked at men. The conversation in my head was I wasn't equating it to sexuality until I did. Mm-hmm. Right. Until I realized, okay, there's more. And actually, the reason what brought it up, I was in a very, very healthy relationship with a magnificent woman, like the woman I spent years manifesting, and finding the woman of your dreams and not feeling something woke me up to something was all different. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started listening to that conversation of, could I be gay? And of course, when I came out, no one was surprised. So my therapist and people around, nobody was shocked. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because even for me having this conversation, like I'm glad of the vantage point that I have, because a lot of my Christian friends, because I'm very Christian, a lot of my Christian friends, they see everybody through the eyes and lens of judgment. We don't speak to people. We don't see people for who they are. And even going back and peeling back the onions and asking the why questions, why, till you get to the core. And for me, I feel so privileged right now to sit here behind this microphone and have this conversation with you, Jeffrey, in such an open and frank way. I'm coming from the standpoint of always, there's so much more that connects us than the things that divides us, you know? So I'm really grateful that, you know, we can have this conversation, because I remember as you talk about, yeah, we're talking about business and here we are talking about you being gay and all of that. And it's not the subject of the conversation, but it so happened that sometimes we determine where we want a conversation to go, but then the conversation itself, you know, kind of direct its own path, and that's fine. I remember many, many months ago, just in the earlier time of me starting this podcast, and I had somebody on board talking about forgiveness. Now, I was so uncomfortable, because for me, I'm comfortable talking about the subject. But I became uncomfortable because I said to myself, are persons going to cringe when they hear this? Are they going to be okay with me going so mushy and talking about forgiveness? But you know, I became comfortable, although I edit some things out. I became so comfortable because I said to myself, if it is that we're not able to deal with our core, then we cannot be effective anywhere else, whether it's business or social lives or whatever it is. And can I tell you, Jeffrey, that episode up to that point was the episode I got the most feedback on, saying, thank you for doing this. Thank you for sharing this. So I believe in open and honest conversation and communication. I'm so glad that we're having this. So
it's actually what the world wants. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, the tagline of my podcast, The Self-Employed Life, is business with a soul. Yes. I mean, those are the conversations I want to have. And for my new book, I've kind of taken ownership of the hashtag woo woo in your wallet, right? Because I'm always trying to cross that bridge. It's like, yes, it is inner work. That's why so much of the ecosystem that we'll speak about shortly is largely personal development. And I'll explain to you why when we get into that conversation. And that's what so many people are craving for. And I truly believe that is what the self-employed business owner is craving for, because they get it. They got it a long time ago that who they are shows up in their business. Uh-huh. They got that many, many years ago before the traditional business world was ready to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, wow. I've been doing yoga for 15 years and I didn't talk about it when I started. Right now, everybody's doing yoga. Right. So I think self-employed people have gotten the connection between who we are and personal development long before traditional business was waiting to have that conversation.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so it's a good time now to segue into what we told everybody that we'll be talking about, which actually we were talking about it all along, except that it didn't come in the format that we expected to, right? All right, so let's talk about the self-employed ecosystem. First and foremost, what is that?
So I'm always trying to make things in business retainable for people, you know, so that they can do something with it. Because again, that balance between personal lives, our inner world or outer world, it's not easy to navigate. And so what I always try to help others do is to cross that bridge. So often what that means is creating a system so that people can get a hold of it. Right. So I'm always trying to take the ethereal thoughts and systematize them in a way that people can do something with it. And this is where it ties into our previous conversation. When people can do something with their lives, they grow further. the essence of the meaning success breeds success. I always had it wrong. I think a lot of us have it wrong. I always thought success breeds success meant if you have money, you can invest money and make more money. And while there's truth to that, the real meaning of success breeds success to me is that you already have everything inside of you. And when you have glimmers of success, more in you shows up. You become better versions of yourself. So to me, the result I want is for people to show up in their world at their fullest. The road to get there is to help them be financially successful in their business. The way to get them there is to create a system. So the self-employed ecosystem, and I'm so glad you live in Jamaica and I in Miami because we understand nature. Mm-hmm. I always say when you live in a tropical climate, nature will always win.
Always. Right?
Always. I mean, always. The roots grow through pavement. We here in Miami, we have iguanas and peacocks running freely down city streets. And, you know, we can build everything we want, but that hurricane can take out whatever it wants to. So nature always wins in a tropical climate. So you understand the power of an ecosystem. And the truth, the fundamental truth of an ecosystem is that it contains many parts. And if any one of those parts is off, it can kill the entire ecosystem. And then we have that happening in nature right now because of global warming. It's killing coral reef and valuable parts of our Earth's ecosystem. So I took that idea and broke it down into what I feel are the three essential components to be successful being self-employed. And they are personal development, right? And what I mean by that is I look at personal development as capacity. As we develop ourselves, we increase the capacity of what we're capable of, and we increase the capacity of what we're able to receive so that the next part of the ecosystem is business strategies. I teach business in a very, I think, unusual way, innovative way. I like to teach things that are real and right size for small business owners so that when they apply the effort, the action that we're told to do in business, hustle, 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 The problem is, If you don't develop the capacity, you keep throwing, you know, you're filling up, you're, by adding more and more action, you're hitting the ceiling and you're not actually getting anywhere, right? So that's why personal development has to come first. You increase the capacity so that when you apply action, it works. And then the third component of the ecosystem are daily habits and mindsets. What keeps you going, right? So if you look at those three parts, you've got personal development to increase your capacity. You've got right-sized business strategies that I teach that work for small business owners. And you've got daily habits and mindsets to keep it going. The fundamental truth of being self-employed is I have asked every self-employed person I've ever met, why did you become self-employed? And everybody has some version of the same answer. It's always, I wanted to control my destiny. I wanted to control my future. I wanted to control the hours I worked, to which I will say, and how is that going for you? And everybody laughs, right?
Including me.
Exactly. Because the truth of the matter is we think we're gaining control and we're entering completely uncontrollable circumstances. The economy, global pandemics, you name it. What this self-employed ecosystem does is it literally creates the environment, as an ecosystem is. It's an environment. So the self-employed ecosystem creates the environment to make your success almost inevitable. I mean, just it puts everything in place. It has all your ducks in a row. If your success does not happen, how can you deem it as a failure if you've done all that you can? Right. So the self-employed ecosystem puts everything in place to dramatically increase the chances of your success. And the daily habits and mindsets component helps even out the ups and flows. My clients, after I've worked with them, I have a 3-month program where I help businesses set up their ecosystem. And when I speak to clients months later, they will always comment how they're handling those ups and downs much more smoothly because the goal is to control what you can and manage what you can't, right? And that's the goal because with that steady state of mind, you can have successful business. You can find more in yourself. You can do more of the good work you want to do in the world and show up in the world more of who you are.
Absolutely. And, you know, I laughed when you talk about, you know, everybody giving you some variation of the same answer, wanting to control destiny, etc. So my response was what, you know, to the question, what are you chasing? And I respond, freedom. And then right. I'm sure aptly your question, how is that working for me, right? And I'm actually now in the process of full disclosure, getting all of that together and making sure that the freedom that I'm seeking, you know, when I decided I wanted to start my own business, I actually have it. Yeah. All right. And so to kind of reiterate that what you've said before, your daily habits and mindset, above all else for me, that is something that stands out. Because if you have a mindset of lack, you're going to behave in ways that will not pull things towards you, you know, repel the very thing that you're after. When you develop a mindset of, when you have a mindset of lack, and the habits that you create daily are actually supporting that mindset of lack. So a positive mindset, a growth mindset is absolutely key. And we talk about that. We all talk about that. But I'm going to ask you, essentially, what does a growth mindset looks like?
Yeah. So, and I love that you're asking this. And, you know, when I start working with my clients for my 3-month program, I ask them, I recite a few symptoms and have them identify what symptom they're currently experiencing. Cause that helps us point to, of the three parts of their ecosystem, where are they stronger and where are they weaker? Now, mind you, the goal is, you know, might seem harsh to some people, but an ecosystem is completely integrated. And as I said, if one part is off, it can kill the whole thing. So all three parts, personal development, business strategy, and daily habits, all three need to be at optimum health. The problem is everybody I work with identifies that while they know daily habits and mindsets is actually the most crucial part, it's the part everybody's weakest in. And then it's interesting. It's like they literally know they should have better mindset. They should have a daily practice to improve their mindset, but they don't do anything with it. And I think part of the reason is because I'm such a realist, because I work with people who, you know, are their lives are on the line and they work really hard. I think the reason is that A, they've either been given practices and daily habits that are too extensive in time, so they don't stick with it. They haven't, they don't have evidence of tangible proof that it works. And that is my big thing. So what a growth mindset looks like to me is, now let me explain this about the ecosystem. The personal development side is a lot about unblocking. Okay. So that's why, because we're trying to increase capacity. So we want to get roadblocks out of the way. On the other end, if you will, is the daily habits, which to me is less about unblocking and more about moving forward. And that's the growth mindset. So specifically, for example, one thing I teach are how to properly set your intentions. Most people have not been taught a system to set intentions in your life in a way that really works. Most people set intentions that are just way too vague. I intend on being successful. I intend on hitting a certain amount of money in sales. It's too vague. The way I teach intentions, because I know it works, is a very specific system. It's called from to. So what you do is what I have my clients do is to make a list, and it's usually at first a pretty extensive list, and then we narrow it down to maybe 3 or 4 because you can only work on so many things at once. But it's, what is it that you want to go from? What is it that you want to go to? So instead of just vague intentions, it's, I want to go from not having enough money to having more than enough money. Okay. Not even enough money. More than enough money, because you have to overshoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
The power of that is incredible. So as I said, because it's very split from to, you know, some of the intentions I have worked with is especially a few years ago when I was starting out looking to make more impact as a speaker. I used to say to myself, I want to go from being in the back of the line to the front of the line. Okay. What that meant to me was that, you know, because I was used to being in the back because of my youth, I was used to being the back of the line kid. I always made sure that teachers didn't notice me. I didn't get called to play kickball. I stood in the back of the line. And I realized that was holding me back. In order for me to be chosen to speak on the biggest stages, I needed to go to the front of the line. I needed people to see me. So whereas my strategy in life, earlier in life, had been to be overlooked, later in life, over what I do now, is I need to be seen, right? So I needed to go from the back of the line to the front of the line. That's an intention, because it's actionable, the brain gets it, and you know what to do with it.
Absolutely. You know, I relate to you on so many levels. I mean, I didn't have the best parenting upbringing, didn't have father around, and, you know, growing up without any self-esteem and no confidence and all of those things, and to a point where sometimes I wonder if I'm overcompensating now. because I'm so intentional that, listen, I just had a conversation with Seth Godin, and one of the things he talked about was, you know, pick me, and in his book, The Practice, that we discussed for episode 200 of the podcast. And talking about that, you know, the idea of picking yourself, do not wait on persons to recognize who you are. You are going to have to take the step necessary to get ahead of that line. It's particularly when you've known all your life is in the background and staying silent and no confidence and all of these things. So I can totally relate. Now, Jeffrey, you have a book that's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So I'd want you to tell us the name of that book and tell us about it, what it can readers expect from your new book.
So the book is called The Self-Employed Life. And it is, you know, it's broken up into those three sections. There are, you know, the ecosystem, personal development, business strategy. The business strategy sections is so chock full of really innovative marketing strategies that people have never heard of, but I know they work, right? So there are things like hug marketing, right? That's, I made up the term, but it's a strategy. And the emotional journey, which is kind of a mapping technique to engage with your clients. I also talk about how to set up the systems, not for the business you have, but for the business to come. So it's the business section is chock full, and then the daily habits. So it was interesting when I really, I previously had always thought of myself as for entrepreneurs. I've always talked business. My previous book was called Lingo, was a brand message strategy. Business has always been important to me because it gives people freedom. And when I had this epiphany that it wasn't just broad business and it wasn't even entrepreneurship, that who I am for, who I am meant to serve, are self-employed business owners. So I came up with this idea. And of course, you know, we do our due diligence. I went to Amazon, and there isn't a single book out there that makes sense for a self-employed business owner. Not one. I mean, think of the hundreds of thousands of books in Amazon. If you search books for self-employed, it's things like taxes when you're self-employed, or how to make six figures. I mean, it's like, apparently no one has ever written a book for self-employed business owners that doesn't get it. And that's why I wrote this book. I've been self-employed my entire life. I've actually never had a traditional job. I've been making my own way since the age of 14 when I sold eggs door to door living in the country, and have always seen the overlap between business and life. That's why it's called The Self-Employed Life. It is an acknowledgement that you're a person. It's an acknowledgement that your personal development has everything to do in business. It is all the business strategies that you need, and it's the mindsets and habits to keep you going, because that's what I most want. I don't want people to... I tell a very personal story at the end of the book about how I nearly walked away from my TEDx talk and why. And wow. That was the first time I actually publicly shared that. And the chapter is called Don't Give Up on Your Dream. And I want people to see, even after... Gosh, I mean, when I did my TEDx talk, it was 3 years ago. So after 33 years in business for myself, having a dream of a lifetime come true, a month before I nearly walked away because my personal life was interfering with the dream, and I nearly let that dream go. And fast forward 3 years, last year at some point, that TEDx talk was moved to TED.com. Which is a huge
deal,
right? Imagine if I had walked away from that dream, right? So I share a very personal story at the end to say, yeah, I get it. That's how much who we are and how our businesses, how much they overlap. So The Self-Employed Life comes out May 4th.
Okay. Awesome sauce. You know, and I really need to get that book because I have on my bucket list for this year to do my TED talk. I just haven't gotten around to writing, you know, that whole thing that I need to get it together and so on. So I need to do it. So I really need to read your book, and I'm looking forward to the launch. We are just a couple seconds that we have left. I'm going to ask you to wrap, just telling us, you know, what you want us to walk away with from this conversation, Jeffrey.
You know, especially the conversation we've had, I want people to walk away with knowing that they're not alone. You know, I hope through this book this book is more than a book to me. It's more of a movement that I really want self-employed people to be proud. When asked, what do you do for a living? I want them to say, I am self-employed, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not an entrepreneur, not a small, but I am self-employed, because boy, that's a big message to tell the world that you have chosen to employ yourself, to create a job for yourself and possibly others, and to take care of your own responsibilities in life. I don't know that it can get bigger than that. So to me, I want people with pride to say, I am self-employed.
Yes. Yes, that's a great message. And how can we reach you?
I'm easy to find on social. Actually, what I would love to offer your listeners yes. is what I call a self-employed bundle, because it has graphics in it that in the hug marketing, emotional journey, business model, things that I spoke about, you know, just touched on. They're all inside this self-employed bundle, as well as a guide to help people be an awesome podcast guest, because you and I both know how wonderful of a strategy could be, and we know how difficult it is for a lot of people to be a good guest. Mm-hmm. So you can get that at selfemployedbundle.com, and it has just wonderful tools in it to get people going. It's a great companion to the book, but honestly, even if you don't get the book, the self-employed bundle is a wonderful gift. So start with that so I can give something to you, because from that, we can always build a relationship. You'll always find me.
Okay. Awesome sauce. What an amazing conversation we've had, Jeffrey. Really, really blessed. And I feel privileged that I can have these conversations. I can bring on these amazing guests, including yourself, to have these open, honest conversations to better humanity, really. So thank you so much, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Shaw has been my guest on this episode of the Entrepreneur New Podcast. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to this episode with Jeffrey Shaw. I hope that you take away something solid from this episode. I liked the part about the three parts of the ecosystem that Jeffrey and I were talking about: the personal development, the business strategy, daily habits, and mindset. Please go back, play the episode. There may be something that you missed when you played it at first, and you can always get back by listening to it again. Share it with a friend. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts. Go on the show notes page, hennikawatkisporter.com, and leave a comment. I really want to hear from you. And this week, I want to, before I share with you my point of hope, I want to also remind you that you can go to hennikawatkisporter.com for anything podcasting, all things podcasting. So coaching, online courses, books. I also produce podcasts for corporate or for individuals, depending on what your need is. So please send me a WhatsApp message from the homepage of my website that comes directly to my phone. And here's today's point of hope. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, verse 2. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.